And welcome in to another great, I guess we'll call it great season of Strong Style. Of course, that is from Impact Media, and Strong Style is where we will talk pro wrestling. Trust me, I watch every bit that I can get my hands on every week as far as all the major groups and everything, and also MMA. We'll go ahead and say the disclaimer. Not really getting into Bellator this week. We'll have some for next week. Just firing back up. I'm going to give them time to get going so that I can get going. But season two, basically, let me just say, this is why there was a big gap, part of why there was a big gap between the last episode we did of season one and season two. Season one was kind of the trial balloon to see the response, see if you guys would want to hear a show about pro wrestling, and now incorporating MMA into it. We moved that over from our, can't tell you what the name of it is, because the all sports show, it will be everything outside of pro wrestling, and MMA will be called something completely different, have a completely new vibe, new music, everything, starting probably tomorrow, I believe, is when that will drop. But, yeah, moving MMA from there to here, I think that way we can talk about all combat sports in one, because there are a lot of similarities between MMA and pro wrestling. But I'm Jeremy, the Impact York. For everybody who may be new to the show, welcome. So this is the debut of Season 2, and we will be a weekly pod that you can download. And I'm going to start by talking MMA and UFC because it is the thing freshest on my mind. And it is the thing I want to talk about first. Things that have happened since our last show. Fight Island. Was Fight Island a success? Yes, absolutely was. This is what happens when you have someone like a Dana White steering the ship and being the captain. Now, granted, I know he's the president of the UFC, but this is Al Capone-like, just without all the massacres. This is making it work, and making it work well, between fighting in Jacksonville, between fighting in UFC Apex, in Las Vegas, between fighting in Abu Dhabi for Fight Island, which I believe they're going back to for a handful of weeks coming up soon. Fight Island was a success. How successful was it? Well, I'm staring at a mask that I wear in public that says Fight Island on it. Yeah, Dana, I'm in. I've been in since a fight I'm going to talk about here in a minute that I actually would like to see the next chapter of, possibly. But Fight Island. Yes. Initially, what we all thought maybe it was going to be Survivor-like, that they were going to fight out on the beach. But when you find out it's in Abu Dhabi, it's like 120 there on a daily basis. No, somebody could literally be very, very banged up for that. So I really like the concept. Really think I like everything they did there. They are making the most of not having live people in the seats there. Me and my friends pulled together and actually, one friend's wife and kids watched a lot of it with us and were impressed with the way everything came out. Kudos to Dana on that. But Fight Island, it's it captured a lot of a different audience, basically. It captured the people who were already diehards, the people who were big fans of sport, the people who were just getting into it or back into it, like in my case, or the people who either had no interest or hadn't really looked into the way of the MMA world. They were in. When you're one of the only acts in town, a lot of times you attract the attention. Kudos to the UFC and Dana White on that one. Let's see, what else did I want to get into? Oh, obviously, Paige VanZant fought the last fight of her contract at one of the the Fight Islands, and came up unsuccessful. And while we wish her the best on her future endeavors, which we do, Paige, you know you have big support here. Would love to have you and your husband on the show. Her husband fights in Bellator. They are definitely the power MMA couple. They are fantastic. Great Instagram followers as well. They do some just incredible things. She has signed on. A lot of people thought she's just going to join Bellator with her husband. From what I heard, there was no ill will, nothing like that. They did speak to Bellator. Couldn't quite come to terms on price and some things like that. And so they kind of just left that bridge uncrossed to come back to later. But Paige did sign. She signed with BKFC. For those not in on what BKFC is, it is the Bare Knuckle Fight Club, Fighting Club. A lot of people are saying that she's leaving the MMA world to go to the Bare Knuckle world. It's debatable because some MMA disciplines have kind of grassroots, have roots in underground fight leagues such as Bare Knuckle. I think, honestly, you know, for a while, when Paige first came out, she was a fighter. She wanted everybody to know she's a fighter. Now, she's only like 25, 26, so this wasn't that long ago. But she wanted to show everybody she was a fighter. There were some injuries, especially the arm, the forearm, that got busted a couple different times that kind of stretched out the handful of fights she was supposed to have pretty quickly, stretched them out because of the injuries. But she came out, she wanted to be a fighter. Because of the injuries, you know, she's still trying to make money, still trying to get on the map and things. So she did some Instagram ads and promotions. And no, this is not some weird way of saying, oh, she did this pictorial. No. She actually legitimately pushed a lot of products and things like that. At one point, she felt like maybe it was a slight distraction to her fighting careers, and she kind of backed off from that, even though she said she actually made more money, made better money pushing products on Instagram than she did with the UFC thing. That was not a knock on her MMA contract and her UFC contract, and she wanted that to be clear as well. But she started concentrating more on her fighting. Came up short in her last fight, but now PBZ is going to Bare Knuckle FC. Still have support from us all here at the show and all around the world, Paige. I wish you the best, and we will be watching to see how you do with Bare Knuckle. Now, I've told the story before, but initially what got me out of watching UFC and the fight game years ago was I saw a female fight that, you know, blood and guts and that kind of stuff, I usually don't have a problem with. I just saw this really, really brutal fight, and it just was hard for me to watch, and so I had to take a break. What got me back into watching was late one weekend night. They were re-showing some old UFCs. They showed Wei Li versus Joanna. That fight, it's amazing. A woman fight, a female fight, got me out of it. This female fight got me back into it. It was an insanely just wicked, sick, awesome fight. Title fight at the time. And the reason I bring that up is because in looking at booking the future, booking, the term they use in wrestling, but it works for anything, you're booking the territory. Well, this is what we're doing with the UFC. Right now, I would love to see Wei Li versus Joanna, part two, part three, whatever it is. Or if Wei Li's going to defend the title, why not Thug Rose? Look up Thug Rose. Rose is incredible. incredible. Didn't really know who she was until I saw her fight. Then I realized where all the hype was. And if you get Weili versus Joanna, if you get Weili versus Thug Rose, I think you it could possibly be the headliner. These are three women who throw down and are very, very good at what they do. A shout out to Khamzat Chimaev, I believe is how you say his name. He had two fights in 10 days, all in Fight Island. And it's not just two fights in 10 days. He was in one weight class, dropped more weight 10 days later, and won both fights. He had two finishes. In his first fight, he had the submission at 1 minute and 12 seconds into round number 2, and then turned around 10 days later and had the TKO / KO in round 1, 3 minutes and 9 seconds. That is incredible. Not only two fights in 10 days, not only two wins in 10 days, two finishes in 10 days, and both of them barely halfway into the fight. Just incredible. You got to talk about Jorge Masvidal or George Masvidal, whichever you would like me to refer to him. Huge fan of this guy. It's again, I'd always heard the name in between the times that I wasn't watching UFC. If I would say Masvidal, okay, I'll get Masvidal, okay. Yeah, this guy, he took the fight. The title fight on short notice came up a little short. He's going to get another shot, and I would not want to be. I would not want to be his next opponent because he is going to be focused. He is going to be driven, and in the meantime, he was actually on the ACL, the American Cornhole League. He took on one of the pros there. He's a decent cornholer. This pro made short work of him, but George Masvidal, man, he could be like the next Conor-like guy, big star, and Dana realizes it, so he is going to do his best to promote him and do the things that are going to make the UFC money. They're going to make Dana White happy, and they're going to make George Masvidal into the next big thing. The UFC released Max Roscoff. He was the one who gave the verbal tap out, basically, in between rounds. He verbally quit in round number 2. He took a fight on short notice. He'd been undefeated coming into that. Like I said, he took it on short notice. I think, you know, another company should zap him up. UFC had to release him. If he didn't want the fight, he shouldn't have took the fight. I don't know why he went in, got gassed in the first round, and proceeded to just quit. And it's going to give him a bad rep, but it's the reclamation project for anybody who picks him up. Dude's a good fighter. I don't know what was going on. He might have had more going on than he got into. But somebody will pick Max up, and we will see what happens with that. I want to get into the card from over the weekend because, to me, I think there were three big victory stories that there were. I'm just going to go through all three of them. I think they each have their own importance. But we got Daniel Cormier, Stipe Miocic. It was for the heavyweight title, which Stipe came in with, and he ended up leaving with. After unanimous decision, they went all 5 rounds. You could say something about an eye poke, but they both had one. The fact that Daniel got an eye poke at the end of, got his eye poke pretty bad, where he couldn't see really out of it. In round 3, and yet still won round 4 is pretty amazing. Almost won round 5. He almost still won the fight. But Daniel Cormier is officially done. So, you know, kudos to him. Congratulations to him on a fantastic career. I think he is one of the better heavyweights of all time. He's one of the better fighters. I think he has a killer
resume if you look at it. He's going to get more into the media side of things. He's already been calling fights, doing some EA Sports things and all. Daniel's going to be fun. But congratulations to Stipe on keeping the title. They are already lining up opponents for him. Hopefully before the end of the year. I think December is when we could see the next one. He's talking about taking time off. The only problem is you're the champ. You can't just take 8-9 months off when you're the champ. You just had a big fight like that. So they will have to see what's going on with that. Now, the next big thing that happened, I believe, was Sean O'Malley took on Marlon Vera, Cheeto. Sean O'Malley, who made his big splash into the UFC through the Dana White Contender Series, which is actually on tonight as we record this. Sean O'Malley, undefeated all the way up until now, got handed his first loss by Cheeto. Cheeto is no slouch whatsoever, and got the stoppage at the end of round one. But that's the thing. I think O'Malley got caught up in his own hype just a little. And in the process, it got him. So Cheeto Vera goes to 16-6-1 in the bantamweight. Sean O'Malley will be back. I think he'll be a little more focused next time. And I don't want to take away from Vera because Vera fought a great fight and won. It's not that O'Malley lost the fight on his own. Vera very much came in ready to come at O'Malley after all the crap talk and everything leading up into it. So congratulations to Cheeto, and Sean will rebound. No problems there. The other one, you had the ageless wonder Jim Miller, who has fought like 50 times in the UFC or something. Between him and Cowboy Cerrone, they are right at the record, but Jim Miller seems to fight once a month now, and that is just fantastic. He took on Vince Pichel, who had been out for about a year or so for various things. I think it was mainly injury-related, but I'm not 100%. The cool thing in this is based off of Vince's crazy old-school mustache he had and Jim Miller's full beard and close-cut hair, this looked like it could have been a bare-knuckle fight during the, 1800s. It was fantastic. Pichel ends up with the unanimous decision after three great rounds. He did win them. It was, I would say, probably 65-35. He was controlling the fight. But he's back in the fact that Jim Miller will probably fight another month. But those were the three big things that I thought happened. There were some other... Souza with the victory over Ashley Yoder. That was a good one. Kai Kamaka over Tony Kelly. Just if you get a chance, go back and watch the pay-per-view. It was really good. Junior Dos Santos, I think, had a pretty good showing, but Rozenstruik ended up with a victory there. That's a heavyweight thing. You got to think Rozenstruik is working his way to the top, maybe 3-4 fighters down the road for Stipe as far as that. But that's going to wrap up our MMA talk. I want to get into all that has happened in the world of professional wrestling in the last week or so. Let's start with, I'm going to do Raw, I'm going to do NXT, I'm going to do SummerSlam, and then SmackDown, and then I'm going to talk to SummerSlam card coming up. So let's do it that way. The big takeaways basically here lately on Raw, you get Raw Underground, which is kind of, I don't want to call it staged, but it is a wrestling ring with no ropes. So as the poles, they are kind of doing kind of like Underground Fight League. They're getting to showcase some of their younger talent. Dolph Ziggler, who is a great collegiate wrestler, they had Eric from Viking tag team. They have had Bobby Lashley show up, which he's an MMA guy. I mean, I get it. They've had Nia Jax make some some headway on there. They have Shayna Baszler, but Shayna Baszler is accomplished MMA and a complete badass. So they you got to kind of watch those things. It seemed like they are going to pair her back up with her other two MMA part of the horsewomen without Ronda Rousey, basically. But I very much look forward to that. I think they should do that. The other thing on one of the other thing on Raw is you get Dominic Mysterio, who we basically watched grow up. Thank goodness they it's not some bloodline related storyline. Rey is doing a fantastic job of taking this one on the chin, as far well on the eye, I guess, as far as this storyline against Seth Rollins to bring Dominic in. He got beaten up pretty good with a kendo stick. That's kind of a way of wearing in the rookie. Didn't have a whole lot of problem with that because nothing personal. But if you're going to get into pro wrestling, yeah, you kind of get initiated in. It's usually through some your first few matches. You take a pretty good beating, so to say, to kind of break in, see if you really want to stick around. I don't know where they go after this though, because if Seth wins, okay, he should. It's a brand new green guy. If Dominic wins, he'd just be the former world champion, and then he's in limbo because where does he go from there? You can't put him against somebody else. I mean, honestly, he should probably be in NXT regardless of what happens, but it seems to be what I really don't know what they're going to do. You know what? It was a week ago today, actually. Happy birthday, Hulk Hogan. Throw that in real quick. The other thing about Raw, there is a new faction group, part Aces and Eights from Impact Wrestling a couple years ago, part Nexus, part NWO, part insert your favorite faction who comes in and destroys things and attacks people, a.k.a. every other one. I don't know why they're ripping all these other ones off. These guys come in mask hoods, guys and girls. They have destroyed a wrestling ring with a chainsaw. They have beat up everybody in sight. They have done all kinds of other things. They're called Retribution. Rumor has it that Donovan Dijakovic, who may be Donovan Dijak now, again, may be one of them. And it looks like to me it's a bunch of NXT people. I don't know where they're going with this because nobody has really been their number one target opposition. I mean, they've attacked ringside. They have attacked equipment in the back. They've attacked people in the back, people in the ring, people in the outside area. They have attacked the people in the production truck, yet they didn't really take over the production truck. That didn't make a lot of sense to me because if you're going to destroy, if you're going to take everybody out of the room, wouldn't you take over the room? I don't know where they're going with this because, like I said, there's no immediate opposition that are trying to go against them. It's just like the roster bands together and kind of runs them off occasionally. I don't know where they're going with it. NXT-wise, Keith Lee was the champ, but he took his secondary. He took his secondary title and said, you know what, I'll keep the heavyweight. He beat Adam Cole. Great match. It was time for Adam Cole to do some different things. We'll get to that in a minute. He took the heavyweight championship, and he took the other one, and he says, you know what? It's time for somebody else to get that opportunity the way I did. So there's been tournaments and other things, and they will be crowning that very soon. It is coming up at their next big pay-per-view, which may be this weekend as well. I was already a fan of Tegan Nox anyway, but Dakota Kai, who is like her sworn enemy on screen now, has really, really grown to me as well. I think the two of them are the best women wrestlers and arguably two of the better wrestlers overall in NXT. But just anytime Dakota Kai or Tegan Nox are in the ring, they are a must-watch. They are innovative. They are doing things, and they are just so on the mark with everything they're doing, just fluid, just smooth, that, like I said, it's a must-watch. And it looks like they're kind of building Dakota up maybe for a title run. I don't know. That would be good because her and Tegan could go back and forth for a couple months, continue their rivalry. It's always good. I just don't want them to rely on it. You need to build it up properly. And then that leads me to what Adam Cole is doing now that he lost his world championship. I was curious to see what they were going to do with him. They basically took him and Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly and Roderick Strong, which are the Undisputed Era, and banded them back together, and they've come out and attacked people. They have come out and tried to make their presence known as the be-all, end-all top faction in NXT and possibly WWE, which it's arguable that what other foursome is anywhere close to them? I can't think of one. It would take a while for me to put one together. With that being said, they have Adam Cole in this little beef with Pat McAfee. Yeah, Pat McAfee, the former punter of the Indianapolis Colts. Pat McAfee does the Pat McAfee Show. It is one of the better podcasts out. If you're not listening to it, you should be. He does some commentating and some announcer work for NXT. And they got into a little shoving match at the end of Pat McAfee was doing commentary. Adam Cole said, you know, I can hear you. And Pat McAfee's like, look, it's just commentary. I'm just trying to, you know, just be a little funny, be a little candid. Adam Cole didn't like it so much. They kind of shoved each other. It ended with Pat McAfee putting in a pretty good kick on Adam Cole that supposedly left him laying. They're supposed to confront each other this Wednesday, which would be tomorrow. But once again, I don't really know where they're going with this, but it could be interesting because Pat has always been in incredible shape. He is loud. He is outspoken. He is already a character. He's a big wrestling fan. And they're giving somebody different a nod against arguably one of the best wrestlers in the company. So kind of looking forward to see where this goes. And then, of course, with SmackDown, you got Retribution. Once again, this group, that equal opportunity, they have done some things there. It's actually the SmackDown ring that they destroyed with the chainsaw, and by destroyed, just the ring ropes mainly. You have the Sasha Banks stuff, which is just blah. It's not believable that she is better than the people that she is wiping the floor with. And it's not even that I'm not that big a fan. It's just, Bayley being a champ, double champ, sure. Sasha, I'm just not believing it. I'm not believing her game has not been on that top caliber that it has been in the past. So I'm looking forward to them moving at least one of those titles off, because it's making it to where most of her matches are non-watchers anymore. Then you get this Bray, Alexa, Braun thing. This could be a killer angle. For one, Alexa needs a little bit of a shakeup. Pairing her with either Bray or Braun, or keeping her in the middle, that's a whole new angle for her. If she went a little darker with the things she did, I think that could be interesting. It is a breath of fresh air. Shakes up some things for her.
Hey, honey.
And, you know, that's just something they need to get into. That's just a new angle, because she's pretty much had the same angle, whether good or bad, as far as what side of things she's on. Since she started, and she's still incredible, still one of the best out there. But a shakeup could be nice. And I think this could definitely be one of those. Let's see if there was anything else from those I wanted to get into. I told you about the Rise of Dakota. She actually beat Rhea Ripley at one point. The Bronson Reed stuff in NXT, I like this. This kid is, he doesn't look like your typical A-plus guy that they're going to push, right? But he has this Kevin Owens thing about him. Kevin Owens is very unorthodox. Most people look to Kevin Owens, most people, the same way they used to look at CM Punk and go, nah, never be a big champ. Never be a big champ? Seriously? CM Punk, champ. Multiple champ. Kevin Owens, multiple champ. Always believable. The way he brings and presents himself. I think Bronson Reed could be that next kind of unorthodox, still gets it done, People like this guy. He's in the big match for the secondary championship. He's one of the three or four in the ladder match. It's killer. Yeah, Takeover 30. Loomis is also in that match. Dexter Loomis, I'm a big fan of, but it seemed like he's got an ankle injury, or for some reason they're pulling him out of this. Like maybe they don't think it's quite time. I don't know. I'm a big fan of this kid. Having Imperium as the tag champions, I have no problems there. I think they can hold on to them for a while. They are kind of reshuffling and redoing a lot of the tag division down in NXT. So we will see what they end up going with. What else was there? No, I already told you about Shayna returning and kind of going at Sasha and Bayley. Have no problems there. In fact, if somebody was going to take out Sasha, Shayna Baszler would be the one I would pick. The passing of Kamala, which is James Harris. He passed away at 70. He was original Kamala. He got it, man. It wasn't like he's a dumb guy that they painted up and he just played the part. No. He very much took the brass ring of this and took it to higher lengths. And thoughts and prayers, condolences to the Harris family. He'll be big, big, big miss. Just a real legend. And like I said, just really going to be missed. Now, let's go to the SummerSlam card for this weekend. You got Matt Riddle. I'm just not a big fan of Matt Riddle, but I get it. They're trying to do something different. Matt Riddle versus King Corbin. I think this is the guy who start Matt Riddle off with as far as a big-time feud. I have no problem if King Corbin wins because I don't think Riddle's quite ready to run with it. But King Corbin, he took the brass ring of this whole King and Crown, and he's doing just fantastic. I think Corbin wins. But I look forward to it. You got Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose, who for some reason are still fighting. Hopefully this is the blow-off match. It is hair versus hair, because Deville attacked Rose in the back, cut off a chunk of her hair. Basically, like Mandy wanted to get a haircut. She got a haircut. And I really don't know who's going to win this. You would think Sonya, because a lot of times in hair versus hair matches, they start to cut a lot of it off after the match, post-match, And then when they cut off a decent chunk of it, the person runs away. They just end up with a shorter haircut. Be interesting to see what will actually happen, because they have both threatened to make the other bald. I would take Mandy Rose in this. I think Sonya can pull off the short hair look a lot better. You got the United States Championship match, Apollo Crews, who's the champ, versus MVP. I don't know why they keep building up. MVP is good and solid. Apollo Crews is way better. Apollo should take this one. I don't know why MVP is the guy they're throwing in front of him, but I guess if Lashley is the next likely opponent, then he's already beat Shelton a handful of times. Might as well beat MVP. I got to give Apollo the nod. The Raw Tag Team Championship, it is the Street Profits who are the champs versus Andrade and Angel Garza. The whole poison angle is weird, because if Zelina Vega actually poisoned one of the Street Profits' drinks and made him sick and all that kind of stuff, that would be grounds for legal charges, and she would probably be in prison. So it was a weird angle. Not sure what they did. Andrade and Angel Garza would be a good changeup. I thought Andrade was on his way towards the top. But they have pulled him back into the mid-level. Angel Garza is a fantastic performer, always has been. Give me Andrade and Angel Garza to be the new Raw champs. They're kind of reshuffling the tag divisions in all of WWE, so we will see if this is kind of a new era of having those guys as the champs. Seth Rollins versus Dominic Mysterio, I kind of already talked about. It's a street fight, a.k.a. weird things are going to happen, like probably Rey Mysterio will come out and help. Other people may come out and help. It will end up being a multi-person ordeal, I would imagine. I don't know where you go with this, because Seth wins. Like I said, if Seth wins, so what? If Dominic wins, then what? So, I don't know. The way they're building it up, Dominic's going to win in some weird way. Maybe he pokes Seth in the eye and he gives up and runs off. Something weird. There's the SmackDown Women's Championship. Bayley versus Asuka. Asuka, I want her to take it back. I'm still a big fan of what Bayley is doing. Bad Bayley, as I'm calling it. Give me, because if Bad Bayley wins, then who do you put against her now? Because she's basically ran through the division twice. They keep kind of semi-building up people here and there, and then nothing. So, unless you're about to promote somebody from down below, but I don't like the instant promotion to a title shot. So, I still take Bad Bayley in this one. Give me Bad Bayley. I like Asuka a lot. I think Bad Bayley needs to win this. The Raw Women's Championship, you get Sasha Banks, who is the champ, versus Asuka in this one as well. This is the one Asuka, I think, should win. Take the title off of Sasha. I don't care if she's a tag champ or not. That doesn't bother me at all. There's been a lot of weird, weird, bad finishes with Sasha, Bayley, and Asuka lately. If Asuka is not the one to take it off of Sasha, once again, I say Shayna should be. But if Asuka wins, then instead of the rematch, or you do the rematch immediately on Raw, get it out of the way, then it should be Shayna Baszler versus Asuka in kind of a no-holds-barred match. Just let them beat the crap out of each other. It would be fantastic. I don't want it with weapons and stuff, but these two understand MMA, understand pro wrestling, understand showmanship. You know what? Give me Asuka to take the Raw Women's Championship, and then immediately Shayna Baszler come out and clear the ring. Universal Championship. You get Braun Strowman, the champ, versus The Fiend, Bray Wyatt. Braun is kind of going over towards the monster side. I would not have a problem with these two being feuding monsters or being monsters on either side of the spectrum. I like Strowman going dark. Having Alexa Bliss in the middle of this, like I said, if she went dark, whether she sided with one side or the other, I think she's better off siding with Bray if she was going to, and kind of being them doing a we ruled the dark, you know, we ruled the shadows type couple partnership. You know, they don't have to be love interest. It could be partnership type thing, you know. King and queen of the underworld, so to say. I think that would be a great direction to go. I think Bray Wyatt should win this match, and maybe it's because Alexa plays a part in it. And then the main event, WWE Championship, Drew McIntyre, who is the champ, versus Randy Orton. I really like Drew McIntyre. He's been pulling the Seth Rollins thing lately, where when you are the guy on top, you come out and talk for 10 minutes, and then your opponent comes out and attacks somebody or you, and then you run them off, and that is pretty much your week every week. I like that they're not putting him out there all the time. I don't need to see him defend all the time. With that being said, I think he's got one more run in him, so give me Randy Orton to be your new, basically Raw champion, WWE champion. Give me Randy Orton in that one. So, to recap, I got Randy Orton winning the WWE Championship. I've got Bray Wyatt winning the Universal Championship. I've got Asuka winning the Raw Women's Championship, losing the SmackDown Women's Championship to Bayley. Bad Bayley. Give me Dominic Mysterio in some weird way over Seth Rollins, some weird, oddball, typical WWE. Give me Andrade and Angel Garza winning the Raw Tag Team Championship. God, I got a lot of titles moving. But Impact Wrestling just did this too. we'll get into that. United States Championship, Apollo Crews is going to keep it because he is way better than MVP. I think Sonya Deville loses her hair against Mandy Rose. And I guess in the kickoff here, I got King Corbin over Matt Riddle. Now, let me see if I can get a takeover. Here we go. The NXT TakeOver. I will breeze through these real quickly. Adam Cole versus Pat McAfee. Give me Pat McAfee in some weird way. NXT Women's Championship. Io Shirai versus Dakota Kai. Give me Dakota Kai winning the championship. You got the NXT North American Championship, where it will be Bronson Reed versus Damian Priest versus, I think, three other people that have yet to be announced. Give me Bronson Reed. I think the kid can do it. NXT Championship, Keith Lee is going to beat Karrion Kross. I think this is, but it's going to be weird at the end. Karrion Kross is fantastic. I think this will be a more than one-off match they are going to face again down the road. Santos Escobar is going to run over Isaiah Swerve Scott and keep his Cruiserweight Championship. Is that all of the one? At the moment, I believe that is the entire card. So, that should be a pretty decent one. Should be a pretty decent one there. Real quickly, let me run through the other promotions. You got Impact Wrestling Tuesday nights on, what are they on, AXS still, I think. The big thing to know about them right now, they have new faces and returning faces, where they've got, let's see. God, what is his name? Heath. Heath Slater. Heath Slater is over there. You've got the Broskies, the Good Brothers, whatever you want to call them, that is Gallows and Anderson. They are fantastic. The Motor City Machine Guns went over there and took the tag titles back. I have no problems with that. Eric Young is back over there. No problems there. Let's see. There was a... Brian Myers is over there. You may know him as the other half of Majors Brothers or whatever with Zack Ryder. He's the other half of that tag team. He is over there. Just a bunch of they have upgraded their roster immensely. And they already had a pretty decent, solid roster. But they have added some value and some big-time indie punch in the people they have signed. Definitely more of a must watch outside of the Hustle House. I like Crazy Steve in it, but past that, I don't understand. They're doing kind of like a Big Brother reality show where they do wrestling matches, and it's just really, really kind of goofy. AEW continues to plug along. Cody Rhodes is really pushing the US title, the TNT title. Let's say he is defending against almost anybody. Between him and the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega, and I mean, just AEW must watch every Wednesday as well. Just incredible kinds of things they're doing. FTR, their tag division is outstanding. You got the Young Bucks, you got Omega and Hangman Page. You've got FTR, which used to be the Revival. You've got the Dark Order. You've got the Best Friends. You got Ortiz and Santana. And the Dark Order can be like four different configurations. They were able to get Matt Cardona, who is Zack Ryder. They were able to get him. MJF continues to show why it should be one of the focal points, the building blocks going forward. That guy is money. Orange Cassidy versus Jericho stuff has just been fantastic. Their women's division is outstanding as well. They have really put some big-time emphasis in their women's division. Jon Moxley is still believable as the champ. No problems there. There was something. Oh, Jungle Express. I forgot them out of the tag division. That's mentioned like 8 tag teams that are worth a watch. Let's see. What else? I think that was... Yeah, AEW just continued. And see, here's the best thing, is that the main people who run that are wrestlers. It is Tony Khan, who is the son of Shad Khan, who owns the Everton Football Club and the Jacksonville Jaguars. But Tony Khan, big wrestling fan. Basically, AEW was started, founded, and ran mostly by Tony Khan, Cody, Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks. I'm missing somebody in there somewhere. Maybe Paige. But either way, the organization ran by wrestlers. They've got JR, they've got Tony Schiavone, Taz, Excalibur. That's their announced team. And it was just unbelievably great that, and right now it's a great time to be a pro wrestling fan because everybody is out there killing it. Everybody there's now competition it's not super, super competition as far as everybody's on the same level, but no, it's now there are options. If you, on Wednesday nights, you get an option. You can watch NXT or you can watch AEW. If you like the WWE style, well, 3 different times a week, they're on Mondays, Wednesdays and Fridays. Ring of Honor has been doing some, once them and New Japan start to get back going and everything, those are going to be incredible. These Ring of Honor things every week, they did Shane Taylor feature. They've done a feature on, the Octopus, on the Octopus, on everybody. It's just been a super fun time to be, whether it's MMA with UFC and now Bellator popping back up, or whether it's like I said, WWE has 3 shows. You have Impact Wrestling, who has a killer roster now. Eddie Edwards is the champ. Total, no problems there. You got AEW, Ring of Honor, New Japan. Those are about to fire back up. It's just going to be an incredible time to be a fan of the combat sports. That's going to do it for us here on debut season 2 episode. We'll call this Straight Fire because it is hot in here. And it is not just me. It's all this great action going on. But I am Jeremy the Impact Lord. Thanks for tuning in to the debut of season 2 of Strong Style. We will see you guys next week. Deuces, goose.